Grab your Bible. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15, which is not actually where we're going to start. We're going to start in Matthew 5, so you can go there. If you like to play Bible drill, I got a lot of work for you to do today. Otherwise, it'll just be on the screen and you can read it later, okay? Pass the basket, send your kids, scoot over, and then I would encourage you to grab, if you grabbed one of these bulletins when you walked in, I would encourage you to grab that now. We are walking through our vision series as a church, is what we've been doing for the last few weeks, and today is a continuation of that. Next week we'll do it and finish it up there, but first week we talked about how we preach Christ. Last week Bradley did a phenomenal job talking about how we live in community. Today is the third C, is we love with compassion, okay? And so as a reminder, these three C's do not stand for Capstone Community Church. They do not stand for Capstone Charismatic Church or Capstone Catholic Church or Capstone Calvinist Church. They stand for Christ, community, and compassion, because these are the three things that we think that God has called his church to do and to be. We want to preach Christ with fervor. We want to live in community together, and we want to love one another with compassion. We'll finish it out next week with "We exist for those not here yet." I'm going to really be yelling at you next week, so bring all your friends, okay? It'll be a good time together. But this week is that we love with compassion. We want to be people that that love well with compassion, and we want to see what the scriptures have to say to us about what that means and what that looks like. And here's the caveat I want to give you this morning. When we say this, you can think that we mean just corporately that we love one another. We want to be a compassionate people. But the thing that I want to remind you of, and what the Lord's really convicted me of this week, is when we think about being compassionate, is this: that we can't expect to be something corporately that we aren't personally. Does that make sense? Like, we don't want to think that, oh, it's the job of Capstone Church to be compassionate. And it is, okay? It is the job of Capstone Church to be compassionate. But for Capstone Church to be compassionate, all of us have got to be compassionate people. And we need to be growing in our own desire to be compassionate, to love with compassion. And while it is true that we can accomplish more together than we would separately, we do believe that God is doing something as his church. He's doing more in us together than we would be doing separately. The only way that works is if we as individuals grow in our hearts of compassion for one another. And so when we think about this, I don't want you to check out on me and be like, yeah, obviously the church should be compassionate. Yes, it should be. Here's how the church is compassionate: by you being compassionate. Because of what Christ has done, by us individually becoming more compassionate people, then God is going to do something in us and through us corporately than we could have never imagined. Okay, so I tell you that to say, don't check me out here. I think there's a lot for us to learn and grow in as we walk through these things together. First off, in Matthew 5, just as a reminder, and then we'll jump into these things. Matthew 5, Jesus tells them, you are, man, I love this, you are the salt of the earth. Not you will be, not you can be, not if you work really hard. No, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. Okay, so you are. The city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people put a lamp under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The goal there is that they would see your good works. They would see your compassionate deeds, whatever it is that you're doing. They would see that, and in response, they would give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The goal of compassionate work is not for people to think that you're great, right? It's not for people to see you doing good things and be like, man, look at that guy. He's really committed. No, wrong. The goal of compassionate work for our church is not so that people would see us doing compassionate things and be like, man, Capstone Church, they're really getting after it. If that's what people get out of us being compassionate, we did it wrong. The goal is they would see our good works and do what? And talk about how great our God is. Give glory to their Father who is in heaven. Right? That's the goal of everything we're going to be talking about and doing as individuals and as his church. The first point I want you to get is this: because of that, any compassionate work we do must be gospel-driven, okay? It must be gospel-driven because of this, because the gospel is of first importance. And here's the thing that I see happening in our world today, and I want us to be careful that we don't do this, is that if we lay down the gospel, we lay down the very thing that distinguishes us. So if we set down the gospel to do some kind of mercy ministry, we set aside the very thing that sets us apart. And so we don't want to do that. We want to make sure in our hearts, in our minds, that the gospel is always of first importance. People hearing the gospel and knowing and following Jesus is of first importance to us. Now, here's what that doesn't mean. Because we're all for mercy ministry, right? We want to be doing things. We want to help people. Helping people is a good thing. It's a right thing. It's a biblical thing, as long as the fuel for that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if we set that down to do mercy ministry, then we've set aside the very thing that sets us apart. And here's what it doesn't mean either, okay? We're not talking about some kind of a bait and switch thing where you go to the quad when it's a million degrees outside and you hand out bottles of water, but before they can have a bottle of water, you got to give them a track. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about like getting fake $20 bills printed up and laying them on the side of the road, and then people pick them up and it's a track. And like, dang it, you know, now they hate you even more. Not a good plan. We're not talking about baiting and switching, but we're talking about in our hearts. Okay, in our hearts, when we think about loving the students of Matthews, and we think about going to Kenya to do medical missions, and we think about doing clean water projects or working with orphans and orphanages around the world, as we show compassion, what is driving that? Is it a desire for Jesus to be made known? Because that is of first importance. We can't set that down to do these other things. That has got to be what drives our heart and our desire in these things. 1 Corinthians 15 is my favorite passage to talk about this. 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection passage in 1 Corinthians. It's a great passage, chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here at the beginning of it, Paul is he tells them, he says, "Now I would remind you, brothers." And here's what I think Paul means by this: "I would remind you, brothers." He's dealt with a lot of things with the church at Corinth. His first letter to the church at Corinth, there's a lot of corrections that Paul is making, and he is answering some questions that they have apparently sent him. But there's a lot going on in this letter, okay? There's they deal with spiritual gifts in here, the love chapter, love is patient and kind, which is really a correction. So they deal with that in there. There's apparently a man that's having an inappropriate relationship with his stepmom, and so Paul tells him to stop. There's stuff about marriage in here. There's stuff about speaking in tongues in here. There's all kind of stuff in this letter, okay? Paul gets to chapter 15, and it's like he pulls a Zach Morris and calls time out, if you know who Zach Morris is, okay? And says, hold on a second. Let's stop here. Let's remember something. He says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of, and you have your Bible open, of first importance. That Christ died for our sins, which you also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Right? It's like Paul's going, hey, look, we got to get the orderly worship thing down. Some of y'all need to quit doing what you're doing in worship. We need to figure out what spiritual gifts are. We need to talk about communion. Some of y'all are getting drunk when you're supposed to be taking communion. That is a no-no. That dude needs to stop doing what he's doing with her. All this is true. Like, you don't... We got to correct all these things. But let's not forget what's most important. What's the most important thing that we could hear? It's this: that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And so hear this. I will drill down on this one a little bit more, okay? The primary mission of the church is not feeding hungry people or clothing naked people or giving medicine to sick people, although those are all great things. The primary mission of the church is to see God breathe life into spiritually dead people. That's the goal of the church. That's the mission of the church. We're not just here to do good things. We're not here to just hand out food or hand out medicine or hand out clothing or hand out bicycles, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. We should be doing those things. We should be showing great mercy to the world, showing great compassion to the world. But the reason we show those things is so that Jesus could be made known, because that's the primary mission of the church, to see God through the power of his spirit breathe life into spiritually dead people. And we've got to hold on to that, church. Like, we've got to hold on to that. Otherwise, we will be a bunch of do-gooders, which is good, but what separates the church from any other humanitarian organization is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. The difference between us and the Salvation Army or Goodwill or whatever else is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have got to remember that it is of first importance. And it has to be the thing that drives us and fuels us to be compassionate people, because we want people to know how great our God is. It's our desire and mission for people to see and know how great our God is, to understand the love God has for them, how he has made them, he's made that known to them through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for them to put their faith and their hope in Jesus. That is what we are here for. Okay, that's why we're here. That's why we will show compassion. What should fuel that? There's two things that should fuel our desire to be compassionate people and to make Jesus known. The first thing is this: the grace and mercy that's been shown to us in Jesus Christ. Like, when I think about the fact that God has been compassionate to me, that should cause me to want to be compassionate to others. That I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joy, but then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me, and through the gospel of your Son gave me endless hope and peace. This great God has been compassionate to us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that should drive me to want to be compassionate to others, to help others, to make him known to others. It should drive me to that point, okay? That should, the fuel should be the grace and mercy shown to me in Jesus Christ. And number two is this: the glory of God being made known from our neighborhoods to the ends of the earth, to the nations. Okay, I think we say the word glory a lot in church, and I don't think we really know what that means. All right, here's all we mean when we talk about the glory of God being made known: that God is great. Right, he is great. Therefore, great should be his praise. Everybody should know how great he is. That he is worthy of everything. We talk about his glory. We talk about his worth. And man, the redneck answer to that is, he's great. And he's greater than you could imagine. Therefore, we want everybody to know how great he is. Who? Everybody. Who's everybody? My neighbors. People on my baseball team. All right? The guy at La Bamba, wherever you go, right? I mean, like, everybody that we come in contact with to know how great our God is, from here to the ends of the earth. Psalm 86, this is going to happen because it's in the Bible. It's going to happen. This is, there's none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. There's going to come a day when this world has passed away, that people from every nation are around the throne of God, worshiping him. And here's why: because you are great. That's why they're going to be there, because of how great he is. You are great, and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. That should fuel us and drive us to be compassionate people, because we serve a great God that one day is going to gather for himself people from all nations, tribes, and tongues around his throne, and they're going to be singing how great he is. We get to be part of that, right? We get to be part of seeing that happen when we go and we love this world with compassion, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got a quote here from John Piper, who I read this quote when I was in college. Okay, I literally remember sitting in the dorm room that I was in. I was on a futon bed. That was a thing at one time. I don't know if it still is or not, but I never like laid it down. I just slept on it like a couch for 3 years. And I remember reading this and literally shutting the book and laying it down and going, I'm not ready for that. It was more than I had ever thought about before. He said this. He said, if the pursuit, I'm going to read it slow because it's really important. If the pursuit of God's glory is not ordered above the pursuit of man's good in the affections of the heart and the priorities of the church, man will not be well served and God will not be duly honored. He says, look, we want to serve people. We want to help people. We want to do good for people. But more important than that is God being glorified, right? Because if we don't see it that way, if we get that out of order, man's not going to be served well, and God is not going to be honored well. And he says, I'm not pleading for the diminishing of missions, but for a magnifying of God. This line, I didn't get. I still don't know that I get it. When the flame of worship burns with the heat of God's true worth, the light of missions will shine to the darkest peoples on earth. And I long for that day to come. This is a warning and a promise here for us to remember. Where passion for God is weak, zeal for missions will be weak. Churches that are centered on the exaltation of the majesty and beauty of God will scarcely kindle a fervent desire to declare his glory among the nations. It's like people tell me this a lot. I hear this from other churches, like, y'all are real into missions, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I think so. But what we really want to be into is the glory of God. Like, if we're really into the glory of God, it'll put in us a fuel and a desire and a passion to declare that glory among the nations. So like we don't think the way to get you involved in missions and ministries is to shame you into that. That doesn't last. The way to get you involved in being this way is to help you see how great our God is, right? Like, when I can see how great our God is, the desire, I will not help but be able to speak about what I've seen and heard when I understand how great he is. And so we think that's the way we want to do that. That ought to fuel our desire to be a compassionate people, right? Those are the kind of the 30,000 foot view things. Gospel's of first importance. This should be the fuel that causes us to do this. So since that is true, how do we show compassion? How do we love with compassion? Two ways here. We want to love one another well, and we want to love the world well, which that's the one everybody's thinking about. Okay, we'll finally get to that. We'll love one another, and then we want to love the world. Love one another. Galatians 6 says this: let the one who's taught the word of God share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will also reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so let us not grow weary of doing good. And man, I know some of you are there. I've been there before. You're fighting, you're working, you're scraping and clawing, and just get weary at doing good. And Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good, for we will reap a bountiful harvest if we do not give up, right? And then it says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. Meaning this, we ought to love one another well first. Doesn't mean we should only love one another well, but we should love one another well, right? Especially those who are of the household of faith. A new commandment, Jesus says in John 13, a new commandment I give you, to love one another. Even as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, all people know that you're my disciples. If you wear slick t-shirts and put stuff on your bumper stickers and hashtag it, no. How are people going to know that you're my disciples? If you love one another. That's how they're going to know you're my disciples. And then 2 Corinthians 8, I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that's been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. That is, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. You see this over and over in the Bible. The church loving one another well, caring for one another well, and not just inside of the one body of Christ, yes, but also churches loving other churches well. Right? Churches loving one another well, churches loving other churches well. And here's I want to say this to you. If you've been hurt by the church, I'm sorry. Okay? When I see pastors that have taken advantage of things, I hear things like that, like, man, it breaks my heart. It makes me mad. It does. And if that's happened to you, I'm sorry. And if we can help you, let us help you. Let us find people that can help you. Let us pray with you and help you. We don't want you to have that view of the church. I also would say to you in that, Capstone Church isn't perfect either. So we're going to disappoint you. But we are. But here's why. Because we're sinners also. Now, hopefully, we're going to care for you well, right? But you hang out with me very long. I'm a pretty disappointing person, all right? Let's go to lunch. You'll be like, eh, he's not that funny. Right? Go hang out with me and Jenny. She will immediately become your favorite Burrage, okay? Like in 4 seconds. She's awesome. We're going to fail you. But we want to love you well, and we want to care for you well. And so if that's happened to you, we want to help with that. We want to love one another well. And the other thing I would say is we see Paul talking about this, churches loving churches well. Like, we want to be for other churches also. We're not, I don't know why this slips into people's minds, but like, other churches are not the competition. They're not. They're brothers and sisters. Like, so we're for them being healthy. We're for them preaching the gospel, right? So if they're not preaching the gospel, we want to help them with that. But we're for them. This isn't a, we want to love them well. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another well. We think about showing compassion. We've got to start there, man. We got to start there with one another loving each other well, caring for each other well. When God gives us opportunity, we'll care for other churches well. Let them care for us well as well, right? But let's get out of this idea that compassion is for something outside of us. First off, we got to show compassion to one another. We got to care for one another. We got to get in the weeds with one another to do that. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says, "Give yourself to the church. You that are members of the church have not found it perfect, and I hope that you feel almost glad that you have not. If I had never joined a church till I found one that was perfect, I would never have joined one at all. And at the moment I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it, for it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. Still, imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth to us. All who have given themselves to the Lord should as speedily as possible also give themselves to the Lord's people. How else is there to be a church on earth? If it is right for anyone to refrain from membership in the church, it is right for everyone. And then the testimony of God would be lost to the world. And as I've already said, the church is faulty, and it is. But that is no excuse for you not joining it if you're the Lord's. Nor need your own fault. This is so good. Nor are your own faults... need your own thoughts keep you back. For the church is not an institution for perfect people, but a sanctuary for sinners saved by grace, who though they are saved, are still sinners and need all the help they can derive from the sympathy and guidance of their fellow believers. The church is the nursery for God's weak children, where they are nourished and grow strong. It's the fold for Christ's sheep, the home for Christ's family. And we need to love one another well. And there's no such thing as a perfect church, okay? And again, if there was one and you joined it, you would screw it up, so would I. But as imperfect as it is, it's the dearest place on earth for us. And so we need to get together and love one another well in the church. Second thing is, we want to love the world well, right? We want to love the world well. And Jesus gives us this promise in Matthew 25. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him and he sits on his glorious throne, it's going to be unbelievable. Before him will be gathered all the nations and he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he'll place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, and the king will say to those who are on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Right? We want to be compassionate to the world, because as we show compassion to the least of these, we are doing it unto Jesus. In James 2, he says, what good is it, brothers, if someone says he has faith, but hasn't worked? It doesn't have any works. Can that kind of faith, is that saving faith? The answer is no, it's not saving faith. Right? Like, good works follow saving faith. They don't make you a Christian, but they prove to you that you are one. Right? It's really what you see all over the scriptures here. He says, say that a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food. One of you says, go in peace, be warm and filled. Jerk, man, right? Without giving them things they need for the body. What good is that? No good. So also, faith by itself doesn't have works. It's not saving faith. It's dead, right? It's dead faith. So we want to have faith that is alive. And we should do that by loving and showing compassion and living our lives with good works for the Father. So last four things here, and we're done. The first one is this. You don't need a church program to show compassion. I'm going to lean in a little bit right here, okay? Don't wait for a sign-up sheet to be compassionate. Just be compassionate. Like, our world does not need to see Capstone Church with some kind of marketing scheme to be compassionate. Just you go be compassionate. That's all. That's what your neighbors need. They need you to be compassionate to them. That will show them the gospel. If you just, you go be compassionate. And you see an opportunity to be compassionate and share with someone a need and bless them and encourage them and point them to Jesus, do it. And if it's too big of something for you to do by yourself, involve your community group in it. And y'all do it together. If you're not in a community group, you should get in one. And then if y'all can't do it together as a group, then we'll jump in as a church and do it, right? But don't wait for a sign-up sheet or a poster board or a hashtag or a t-shirt to be compassionate. Just be compassionate people. Our world needs us to just be compassionate people because of Jesus, not because of a sign-up sheet. We don't want to think that way. We want to think this way. Because of Jesus, we love and treat others differently. Because of Jesus, we care for others. That we live differently because of Jesus. Not because of Capstone Church. Jesus, right? Jesus is the reason we're different. And here's the thing. This all sounds awesome, right? It's great. Be compassionate. That's going to be really inconvenient for you. Like, if we're really going to be people that are compassionate, it's going to inconvenience you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you, you know, not doing something that would have been comfortable. Engaging with that kind of weird guy that lives down the hall in your dorm, that's hard, right? It'd be a lot easier just to stay on your phone and hang out with your friends. But if you're going to show compassion there, it's going to inconvenience you. And I think the question we've got to ask ourselves is, do we really care enough to be inconvenienced? Because we can sit in here and talk about this stuff all day long, and that's great. But when there's a single mom whose car needs to be worked on when you're on the way somewhere else, that's horribly inconvenient. And so the Spirit needs to give us compassion, right? When there's someone that works with you or for you and they don't do what you want them to do, it'd be real easy to handle that a different way and not be compassionate. And I want to leave you with that. These are all great ideas until we apply them to our own lives. When we start applying these things to our own lives, we're going to find out a couple of things about ourselves. How selfish we are and how sinful we are. And so this is why we need the Spirit to fuel these things in us. Like, unless I can remember the grace and mercy that God has shown me, it is very unlikely that I'm going to go be compassionate to somebody that's in need that is not going to offer me anything, right? Like, unless I can think about the fact that their soul needs to understand how great Jesus is, the chances of me jumping into their mess is low. It's why we need to preach the gospel to each other. Like, I need to see that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to sustainably fuel my desire to show and love others with compassion. That's why we need Jesus here, and we need him together. And I'm glad that we get that chance to remind each other. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for church that wants to do this. We just need help doing it better. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, you'd help us. Help us understand what compassion really is. Help us be fueled by it correctly. And then, God, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would give us compassionate hearts. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for showing us compassion. Thank you that you include us in what you're doing here and around the world. And I pray that you would find us to be more and more and more faithful to committing ourselves to loving this world well with compassion. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.